Radio.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio.
And if you get in my way to make sure that that man gets housing, or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio.
Okay.
Hello, you have reached CKLN OCAP Word of Mouth Radio. We're at 88.1 in Toronto on the Ryerson campus. Today what we're going to do is we're going to speak to our celebrity of the day, John Clark, who, as you just know, was a part of No One is Illegal OCAP Radio, No One is Illegal Word of Mouth Radio. And we're going to talk about the special diet. We have a couple of upcoming actions. And so welcome, John.
Thanks very much.
So just tell us right now what's going on with the special diet.
Well, the special diet for people on social assistance, the program that provides up to $250 a month for a person on social assistance, if a medical provider deems it necessary, has been targeted for destruction by the provincial government. So they announced in the budget in April that it would go. Access to it has already been massively restricted by various disgusting means.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're waiting for the final axe to fall. That at least is their intention in terms of eliminating the program and replacing it with some farcical replacement that won't go anywhere close to providing the level of support that the special diet did. So we're taking up a fight against that. We're demanding that the social assistance rates be raised to a level that people can live on decently and properly, and we're calling for them to keep their hands off the special diet.
Okay. Do we have any sense of what that raise would be? Like, for people to live on social assistance in a way that is decent, how much money would that mean?
For people to live in a way that is decent would require a truly massive increase as a percentage. To go back to the level that people were at in 1993 before this process of cutting social assistance rates got underway would require a 55% increase in people's income. That's the level that people have fallen. And of course, it was already in the 90s a scandal, the level that people were living at. It was already regarded as grossly inadequate. People were poor. People were not meeting their nutritional needs. Well, now people are living at less than half of that income in real terms.
Okay. So on June 25th, we were part of a community march, OCAP. I was just wondering if you could make some of the linkages between what's going on with the special diet and the stuff that goes on with G8, G20.
Well, I think that the cuts to social programs,
mm-hmm,
are really fundamental to the agenda of the G20, particularly in countries that have been historically relatively wealthy and privileged, and it has been possible for people to win some level of social programs. They're talking about leveling those things. They're talking about destroying them. So social assistance rates in this province have fallen during this whole neoliberal period in real terms.
Mm-hmm.
But now that neoliberalism has metamorphosized into a kind of a super neoliberalism,
mm-hmm,
and they're actually looking to impose like an incredibly intensified degree of austerity on people, these kinds of measures are what are now starting to come down the pipe. So that the access to the special diet, which we and other organizations were largely responsible for increasing enormously,
mm-hmm,
to a limited but important degree, actually flew in the face of the direction they were trying to take things. They were looking to make social assistance more and more inadequate to drive people into the lowest paying, most exploitative jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we took back a portion of what they were trying to take away, and that was always something that they were hateful of.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're moving to destroy it. Now it is true that the the cut to the special diet happened before the G20 meeting, but that doesn't mean that the agenda of the G20 was something that came out of the blue. Governments are already moving in that direction. But now that you have this commitment on the part of governments, with, remember, the Harper government playing a very pivotal role in terms of being on the right-wing edge of the G20 discussions, mm-hmm. now that they're talking about halving deficits by 2013, and that's not very far away, mm-hmm. Measures like the special diet take on a particular significance. In fact, it's quite conceivable that we are going to deal with even more serious kinds of cutbacks. If you look at some of the things that have happened in some of the United States, where they've eliminated social assistance for single people, where they've put time limits on the receipt of social assistance, mm-hmm. Where they've actually imposed out-and-out rate cuts on people, those kinds of things are perhaps also in the wings. So there's no question that the special diet fight is going to be very, very important, because not just because it's important to defend it, but that if we lose that fight, it will open up territory for further cuts. And correspondingly, if we win it, then we're going to be putting a very serious, we're making it much more difficult for them to proceed with their attacks.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to take a break, and we're just going to go to a song, and it's going to be Rage Against the Machine, Renegades of Funk.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. Since the prehistoric ages and the days of ancient Greece, walked down through the Middle Ages, planet Earth kept going through changes, and then the Renaissance came, the times continue to change. Nothing stayed the same, but there were always renegades like you said. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they were renegades of their time and age.
CKLN Word of Mouth OCAP Radio. It's 88.1 in Toronto off the Ryerson campus, and we're speaking today with John Clark about the special diet, its campaign. And I just thought, for the sake of interest, if you could give us a little bit of the history of how the special diet campaign evolved.
Yeah, it began out of a whole initiative that we'd taken up around the McGuinty government's failure to deliver the kind of change that it had promised people when it was looking to replace the Tories. Social assistance rates were incredibly low when McGuinty came to power, but they continued to fall in real terms and have continued to fall throughout his period. So we were looking for a means to challenge what was going on, and we tried various things. We organized various demonstrations, and then we came up with the concept of what we called full entitlement. That is, trying to get everything from the system that the system didn't give people, but was supposed to or could. And in the course of that, the idea of the special diet was raised, and we hadn't heard about it, but people said there's this program whereby if a medical provider says it's necessary, you can get up to $250 a month more. And we knew it was obscure, and we knew, moreover, that when people applied for it, by and large, they were going to be turned down. So we said to ourselves, how about if instead of doing that, we organized it a different way, rather than allowing people to apply as individuals? First of all, we promoted knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we got sympathetic medical providers together and organized clinics so that people could get access to the benefit and get the forms filled in.
Yes.
And then thirdly, that we backed it up with vigorous advocacy to get it for people. And that's exactly what we did. Throughout 2005, we held clinics. About at least 8,000 people went through the clinics in Toronto alone. People in other cities organized similar things. And by the end of the year, the numbers getting the special diet had gone up. And not only that, but there'd been this incredible need for people to organize to win it, because it was never easy. It was always denied. They were always looking for ways to deny it. Mm-hmm. They'd deny it to individuals. They would try to change the policies. And so people had to do lots and lots of organizing and lots of challenges, mobilizing, going to welfare offices, going to the mayor's office, going to the minister's office. All this kind of stuff happened throughout 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, they changed the forms to make it harder for people to apply. Mm-hmm. Instead of a list of food items and diets, they changed it to a list of medical conditions, so it became harder to get it. But that didn't stop it. In fact, it continued to grow, and there were some medical providers who continued to help people to get the special diet. Outstandingly, this doctor at Dunderson Spadina called Dr. Roland Wong,
yes,
who organized to get the special diet to thousands of people. And that carried on, and the thing grew. Now, the provincial auditor last year said that the special diet had gone from a $6 million a year program to a $200 million a year program, which is significant.
It's a
substantial amount of money, and something we're very glad of. Now, in perspective, that's perhaps only 10% of what's been taken away from people.
Yes.
But it's still something that one in five of the people on social assistance in this province had now been accessing. And it was a very, very important gain. It was an important gain because it enabled people to feed their families who would otherwise be malnourished. It was important because it enabled people to retain their housing who would otherwise be evicted. So it literally saved people's lives and prevented the shortening of lives and chronic ill health and other such problems. But it was also important because, as I said, people had to fight for it.
Yes.
People had to organize. And a lot of the growth in anti-poverty organizing and struggle came out of that campaign. There were many communities that got involved, but outstandingly, the Somali community in Toronto's West End played this incredible role in fighting for the special diet. They organized, they came to the clinics in numbers, they were at all the events, they did a great deal of the organizing and the struggling and the promoting of the special diet. So it's been an incredible period, and now we're fighting for it. That process of continuing to build strength in communities is continuing and is developing.
Mm-hmm. And just as a person who's participated in this myself, we also were able to make linkages in other important sectors in the poverty problem. Like, for example, we organized in TCHC, and those people that we met were directly out of the special diet. And I distinctly remember one woman, Amina Ali, talking about how she learned about her rights through organizing around the special diet and just how very important it was for these women and people in general to realize that they could come to this country and they could struggle and they could win. And I just think personally that that was in and of itself a pretty amazing feat, right? Okay, so I was reading today just on the website, and I thought it would just be interesting for people who might want to hear this when we talk about the GHE20 that just happened, in terms of where the government is spending its money on the website. It very clearly says that the $1.2 billion wasted on the G20 summit in Toronto could have funded the special diet allowance for over 5 years. I didn't know that.
Yep, at the present.
5 years.
At the present level of spending on the special diet, that's true, yeah.
It could have housed everyone who is currently homeless in Toronto, 10,000 people, and plus everyone on the waiting list for social housing, which is 70,000, for over a year. So if they had taken that money and they had actually put it into social services and put it into the needs of the people in the city, we could have really, really improved the lives of people in the city. And it's just an example of, you know, how where the government's priorities stand and why poverty is really just quite low on their agenda.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't just that they wanted to have a stupid meeting and they spent lots of money. That mm-hmm. money was spent on developing a strategy and a plan and an initiative internationally to, in fact, increase poverty. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are not getting it wasn't a neutral gathering by any manner of means. It was to prepare class war on poor and working people. So that's certainly true. And I think the thing as well about this is that people, what things like the struggle for the special diet demonstrate to people in their own experience, in their own practice, mm-hmm. that they have to relearn what the history of things like welfare are.
Yes.
You know, there's this sort of sense that there's this all-powerful government who provides you with a little bit of begrudged assistance,
yeah.
And they can do what they want, and if they don't want to give it, they don't have to. But that isn't really the case. I mean, if you look at the history of how welfare programs and unemployment insurance and some of the basic income support programs were won for people, they were won because people rebelled.
That's right.
They were won because people struggled.
Yep.
There was a level of social unrest in the 1930s that shook governments to their core.
That's right.
And those were the factors that created things like unemployment insurance and welfare. As inadequate as they are, if it had not been for people's struggles and people's organized struggles and people's readiness to challenge governments, then there wouldn't even be these things. And today, as they're looking to take things in the opposite direction and remove those things, the question of social unrest comes back on the table.
That's right.
If people have this sense that all you can do is sit at home and wait for them to not send you things, and wait for the sheriff to show up and evict you, and there's nothing you can do about it, mm-hmm. people can resist these things. They can resist cuts to social programs. They can resist evictions. In the 1930s. The unemployed in this city were organized on the basis of block committees. People didn't, by and large, have many telephones, and they certainly didn't have computer communications and internet.
Yes.
But what they had was the ability to organize on blocks, to go and knock on people's doors and tell people what was happening. And if one single family in this city was facing eviction, within the space of half an hour, they could get 1,000 or 2,000 people out on the streets to block the eviction.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can arrive at that kind of level of organizing, then the implementation of the agenda of the G20 and Stephen Harper and Dalton McGuinty,
yes.
is going to run into some severe problems, because they simply don't have enough cops. They simply don't have it. They yes. simply don't have the ability to deal with that level of resistance. And that's what we've got to start thinking in terms of.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to go to a song called Tiro de Gracia. It's from called Hunger.
Ay, Hay gente que no come porque no tiene, y gente que no come porque no quiere. ¿Quién entiende? La mayoría del mundo no tiene comida, y la otra la bota o la deja podrida. En un mundo extraño donde el jinete del hambre cría su rebaño, y el hombre como siempre ignora su daño. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Escuche, comadre y compadre, hay minas, plagas con bulimia por pelar el cable. Y si no me cree, mira a los vecinos y después hable. Algo tan básico que podríamos darle a otro planeta si fuese necesario, pero para algunos el petróleo es más necesario. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. ¡Ay, madre! ¡Ay, padre! ¡Ay, comadre! ¡Ay, compadre! ¡Ay, madre! ¡Ay, padre! ¡Ay, comadre! ¡Ay, compadre! Por eso este día lo declaro duelo por Brasil, Argentina y otros que son negros, porque el jinete del apocalipsis inició su galope y la muerte cabalga junto con él, llevando mujeres, hombres y niños juntos con él, mientras otros vacilando en un gran cóctel con los muertos que acaban de fenecer. Como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre. Flacos como alambre por culpa del hombre, es nada más que el hambre que los vuelve fiambre.
Welcome back. That song was from Tio de Gracia, and it was called Hunger. You are listening to CKLN 88.1 OCAP Word of Mouth Radio in Toronto from the Ryerson campus. And we are speaking to John Clark today about the special diet. So talk to me about what's going to happen on July 21st.
Well, July 21st is the next mobilization around the special diet. We've already done a whole number, and we're going to do a lot more. And we're not just going to do them in Toronto. But the 21st, next Wednesday, we're going to actually gather at the at 900 Bay, which is just south of Wellesley, at noon. And we're going to have a rally there. Inside that complex of government buildings is the Ministry of Community and Social Services that is responsible for, is the ministry that oversees this cut to the special diet. And the Minister, Madeleine Malheur, is personally responsible for this coming down.
Yes.
So we're going to bring in people from a number of places. We know we have people coming in from Ottawa. We know we have people coming in from St. Catharines, Hamilton, and there's going to be a mobilization from within the city. People come from different parts of the city, from this whole downtown area. People are going to come from Scarborough, Etobicoke, Jane Finch, and there's going to be, I think, a strong mobilization there. It will be designed, of course, to challenge what the government is doing, but will also be part of the process of building in communities.
Yes.
To deliver the message to people that they don't have to take this, that they can organize to fight back. And we know as well that there'll be a representative, there'll be representatives of a number and contingents from a number of trade unions, mm-hmm. Particularly public sector unions, mm-hmm. Which is very, very important to us because we're looking to build an alliance between those people who are affected by the cuts and those people who work delivering public services whose gains, whose jobs, whose hard-won workplace rights, etc., are now under attack at the same time.
Yes.
So we see it as a fight around the special diet, but we see it as well as part of the process of building a common front of working and poor people to fight back together.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to be it for our show tonight. This will be my last show. I've had a good time doing CKLN OCAP Radio, but, you know, I'm a very busy lady, and I can no longer muster up the time to do this show. Maybe I will do it every now and again as a guest host. It's been really fun. I've been doing it since, I guess, December of 2009. I've spoken to a lot of interesting people, and now when I'm finally comfortable doing the show and no longer nervous, it's time to go. So I guess I would like to thank Susie and Mark for being our techs tonight, and I hope that you enjoy the new hosts that come on. We've got a new array of people who are interested in volunteering, so you'll get, I'm sure, a lot of very different perspectives, new things to talk about, new people to talk to, and I'm sure that'll be really fun. Again, you're listening to CKLN Word of Mouth OCAP Radio 88.1 in Toronto on the Ryerson campus. And you can stay tuned next for the upcoming show, Vantana Al Barrio. Have a nice night.
En transmisión, Radio Fides, La Paz, Bolivia.
Vidita mía, oye mi negra lo que te vengo a decir. Tengo mucho tiempo y hace muchos días te estaré enamorado, no te puedo conseguir.
Inflamación de la garganta. El vector para estas dos
cuerdas. Ahí mismo nomás, vamos.
Ven acá, vidita mía. Oye, mi negra, lo que te vengo a explicar. Tengo largo tiempo de estar enamorado. No sé por qué motivo no me quieres aceptar.
Para esta tonta.
Lo que te vengo a decir, tengo mucho tiempo y hace.